Hey everyone, welcome to The Boundless Show. I'm Lisa Anderson. Let me give you a little preview of what's coming up on the show, because as you're settling in, we want to let you know that, because you're going to be excited about today's show. It's a little hodgepodge. I love it when it's a hodgepodge. Later on in the show, I'm actually going to answer an inbox question. So I'm not sure why this was assigned to me. And this is awesome. It is a friend who has a friend who's getting married, and the friend is living with her fiance. And so this friend's like, should I be in the wedding? Should I not? Do I stand on principle? What does this look like? And so I'm going to weigh in on that. So good times ahead for that. Then for our culture segment, we have the fabulous Russ Carroll in the studio. He is a former-ish, one of the head honcho types that worked with Dave Ramsey. So knows his stuff about money and is going to tell you what to do with it. Okay. So be ready for that. Some instructional wisdom on how to navigate finances, debt, saving, budgeting in your 20s and beyond. To that point, we are going to open up our roundtable here. We have the fabulous Andrew Hess back in the house. Hey.
Hello. It's good to be here.
He is here taking time out of his busy schedule, getting ready to get married. And let's just remind everyone that he met his fiance at Pursuit 2014.
I did.
Our first conference.
Yeah,
so we're still waiting to see the collateral and the kickback and checks and all that kind of stuff from that. We assume that that will
it's
be
in the
coming.
Mail.
Is there a percentage of maybe wedding money that's coming to the Boundless Show? I'm just putting a bug in your ear. I mean, let's not commit to anything. I'm just saying. We also have the wonderful Katrina in the house. She's brand
Hello.
New to the Boundless Show. Not too new to the area, I would say, but new to our show. So we love just pulling in people and they don't even know what they're in for. So Katrina,
no, not
get
at
ready.
All.
Get ready for that. And then Laura's here. Hey, Laura.
Hey.
Always good to have you. You know, she engineers for us, and sometimes we're like, you know what? Not today. Just come on behind the mic, and we're going to talk to you. So this is going to be fun. We're going to talk here about finances as well, and this is where the rubber hits the road, talking the practicalities of it, because it's going to be good. So the first question I want to ask all y'all, because you are, okay, so I referenced that Andrew is moving towards marriage. Katrina is married. How long?
I've been married for 12 years this year.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You look like you're 20.
Well, thank you.
Oh, my God. That is, we need to look into some public records about that, because that's weird.
No.
Okay, we won't delve too far. And then Laura and I are singletons.
Yeah,
so we're representing. I want to know, you know, because we've got 20s and 30s here and whatever. When did you actually start thinking about finances in your life? And I'm talking like not just like I have to make rent this month, but actually like I might actually have to do something with a paycheck that goes beyond. Maybe it's budgeting. Maybe it's I need to save. Maybe I need to pay off debt. When do you think that hit your radar officially as a consistent kind of?
I think it hit my radar twice.
Okay.
First time it hit my radar was when I was off in college, and there were so many people at my college that just seemed to spend money indiscriminately and were always going out to eat, always like spending money on ridiculous things at Walmart, like Walmart runs at midnight and buying ridiculous
what
things.
What do you buy at Walmart runs at midnight?
Oh,
like,
ice cream.
And you have against Walmart runs at midnight.
Yeah.
They're the ones that started the trend of wearing the saggy pajama pants.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they invented the snugging, actually.
Okay, just checking.
So I remember like kind of being like, wow, like I have to pay attention to this or I'm going to, you know, spend a lot more than I should be.
Yeah.
Because, and so I think that was the first time that I thought I need to think about this. And then after college, moving out on my own, I moved to Colorado. And so that was the first time I was handling rent payments and utilities and all that kind of stuff. And so then it became very real where it was like, all right, I don't want to run out of money or, you know, go into debt or those types of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, for me, so sad, but 2 years ago,
okay.
It really hit us.
Thank you for your honesty.
Yes.
We appreciate that.
Well, I was raised in a home that there was no planning, no financial budget. I didn't go to college. I love shopping. Mm-hmm. So just marrying, and I just thought life could just go the same way that it was going while I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
And well, growing up. But 2 years ago when we realized that we were moving out here and that we just really had to plan, we had to sell our home, and someone introduced to me a Dave Ramsey book. And gosh, I almost cried when I had to put my debit cards up and not spend money and have an allowance. Oh, wow. That was awful. But we're used to it now, and okay. It really works now, for
was
us.
Was your husband just taking the fall on this? Like, how did you even have a home if you're just out shopping and you don't have a budget?
Yeah, he took the fall.
Okay.
Yes.
So he kind of was like, oh, no, I gotta yeah. wrangle these finances.
You just
can't
go out and buy, Katrina. You just, well, I thought I could. I really did.
Okay.
There was no planning at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you're 2 years clean. That's
yes.
good. You're good. 2 years sober from your financial addictions. Okay. That's good. How about you, Laura?
I started doing real budgeting when I moved to Colorado after college as well. But I don't think I really started to understand what money really was until I went to buy a house. And I'm like, oh, I need like $3,000.
Yeah.
Where's that coming from? So definitely yeah. the house was when I started to realize how money actually worked and that I wasn't rich just because I got paid more than $500 a month.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's interesting because I don't think there are many 20-somethings that really have huge chunks of cash, like sitting in, you know, savings and stuff
right.
like that. So when it comes to home ownership, which all of our, you know, Californian listeners are just like, what's that? you know, it's kind of like, I think it's hard to, you know, you think to yourself, where would I ever get that amount of money? And it's crazy making
right.
to think of that. Okay, that's good. That is interesting. Would you consider yourselves, I mean, Katrina kind of alluded to this, she is not a money person. Would you guys say you're more money people? I mean, are you conscious of it pretty often or do you try not to think about it? Because I would say I'm the one that I try not to think about it. As long as I have a cushion, I wouldn't say I budget down to the dime or anything like that, which I probably should. Okay, let's just be honest. But apparently I have some stuff to learn too. But
I am a huge money person. My mother has always told me I can make a penny bleed. And I constantly know the exact balance of every budget line on my budget.
Wow.
It gets a little uncomfortable
okay, how
sometimes.
Many estimate, how many lines do you have in your budget?
10, maybe a
oh,
little
that's
more.
That's not bad.
No,
okay.
It's not. It's just, you know, which bills need paid and
okay.
that kind of stuff.
Okay. You're okay. All right.
I'm also that way. Like I budget down to the penny, know exactly where everything is. And I started using a software probably 5 or 6 years ago called YNAB that I love. And the thing that YNAB tries to get you to do is to spend last month's income this month. And so you always have a buffer where you never have to worry about anything because you're not spending what you're making this month until next month. So it's kind of, yeah.
Okay.
So that's something that's worked for me. It's kind of the same idea of having a buffer
yeah.
where you just, you want to get out of that trap of like defaulting, you know, on things or, you know, using credit or whatever.
Yeah.
So that has helped me a lot. And so I, you know, probably once a week at least, like kind of know where everything's going, where all my budget lines are and everything.
Yeah. That's interesting. I would say I used to think of my money so simply, you know, I just got paycheck and then I just figured out what I needed to spend and what my bills were and then, you know, taxes were always so easy and stuff. And now I got into the sphere of having a rental property and now everything's just all crazy and I had to redo my budget because now I have my mom living with me and stuff, and so I feel like I'm, you know, a mom or whatever. And it's weird. So I use the app Every Dollar, which I think is one of the Ramsey ones or something like that. And that's been good too, because it kind of pre-populates. And so then I can just take stuff and
sounds nice.
And try to move things from category to category if things aren't quite squaring away.
Yeah.
See, I create buffers for myself. And then I'm like, oh, okay, well, good. I overspent there, but there's a buffer. There's a little, you know, so.
Yeah. Roll the punches.
Yeah, exactly. See how that pans out. Okay, so let's talk. We're all in different stages, as I alluded to, like in our relationship status. So let's talk being a single person with finances versus having to plan with other people in mind. So Katrina, you were talking about like you just loved spending and shopping and whatever, and then your husband is probably like, yeah, maybe not all the time. And so what does it look like when you think of the things that were available to you or a luxury to you or things that were just not even issues as a single person, you know, and maybe Laura and I are there right now. What are those things, especially as you're looking ahead or where you are now, Katrina, and saying, okay, those things are no longer forefront or options or whatever?
it feels better now because I have teenagers. I have a daughter who's graduating in a year. Hmm. And it just makes me feel good to know that I have money mm-hmm. saved up for her, and so she can do things and also teach them how to not be like me, mm-hmm. To save money and just put money behind. So those things that look like I lost, like shopping and mm-hmm. things like that, they really don't matter. Because, I mean, in the long run, my children will be okay and they'll learn the right thing to do instead of following my footsteps, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, I think, you know, moving from being single to now looking towards marriage, as a single, I think I gave myself a pass on things, especially things that I might spend money on social, mm-hmm. Like, you know, going out with friends. You know, there's a lot of times during my single years where people were going out and doing something fun. Hey, we're all going to dinner, or we're all going to a movie. And that was where I might let my budget slide a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. I might, like, so I feel like now looking towards marriage, I think that it's going to be more important to really stick closely to a budget and to see that, you know, as Jen and I have had conversations about this, like we're kind of learning that that's an area where we have to have really open communication. Like we mm-hmm. have to, you know, talk a lot like about kind of what the plan is. There was a time in our relationship where, I felt like she was bringing kind of our budget and finance up a lot. And I was like, huh, like this seems to be like something she's concerned about, and I almost got my feelings hurt a little bit. Like, don't you trust me to provide? Mm-hmm. And just thinking big picture, like I'll provide, it's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. But I think what I did out of that was I made a budget for when we're married and said, here's what I think we're going to spend in each category. What do you think? And that really helped us have something to communicate based on. So, mm-hmm. so I was thinking she doesn't trust me to provide, when really I think she just needed to see I had a plan and what that plan was, and that's kind of helped quite a bit, and it's given us a point to discuss, you know, what are we going to spend different, you know, what amounts are we going to spend on different things.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't really have a whole lot to say about what marriage is going to look like. I do kind of like the same thing that Andrew said about I'll let my budget slide to go do things with my friends, I think is probably something that I might have to rein in a little bit. But at the same time, you want to put relationships before money. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. if someone asks you to go to Cancun with them, you might have to say no. But if they're asking you to go to a movie, I'll let it wiggle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or if you're like me, you say yes to Cancun, and then you're just like, hey, what else, you know, what needs to go?
I'll just eat top ramen for the next month.
Exactly. Well, it's funny because I think that there is this kind of perspective shift, because it is expensive to socialize as a single person.
It is.
You tend to, everyone meets either, especially if you're in like a very urban area, everyone meets over coffee, everyone meets at a restaurant, mm-hmm. everyone meets mm-hmm. at, you know, whether it's some kind of venue or whatever. There's not a lot of like, hey, let me bring, you know, my fresh farm to table meal here. Make it after I get mm-hmm. home from work or whatever. So people are usually gathering places. And I mean, I will say that I do, I've worked at Focus a long time, so I have a lot of vacation. So I vacation like a mad woman. And mm-hmm. so that is very much, in fact, it's there's a little bit of fear, like as I've talked to people about potential marriage, like giving that up. You know, it's a sure. very selfish thing to think through and be like, wow, what would, you know, for me, it wouldn't, I don't care about cars, I don't care about all that kind of stuff, but experiences are big to me. So, mm-hmm. So that's interesting. But so what, you know, again, I think when I've talked with folks, especially experts about finances, they tend to talk budgets, they tend to talk credit and credit cards and debt, whether consumer debt or just the burden of school debts. What would you guys say, being kind of on this side of, you know, having lived some life a little bit, what are your biggest pieces of advice for, say, reaching your late 20s into your 30s, being, you know, having some success, having wrangled your finances? Mm-hmm. What are your biggest takeaways?
Yeah, I would say you hit on a lot of them, but, you know, if I could go back and talk to myself when I was first starting to use money, I would say avoid debt at all costs. Mm-hmm. And I did. After college, I went to seminary and did take a school loan to pay for that. And that has been something that I thought of that debt as, it's a responsible debt. You know, it's allowed me to do some of the things vocationally that I wanted to do and has prepared me for that. So I see the fruit side of that investment. But that has been a conversation that Jen and I have had. You know, I am probably more comfortable with, hey, we'll pay that off eventually. Mm-hmm. And I think she's like more Dave Ramsey, like, no, we'll pay that off immediately, you know, and which has been good because I think we're going to be really glad that we are doing that. Mm-hmm. And so I think that young people, as they're preparing for marriage, should think about the way I steward my finances now is a gift to my future spouse. Mm-hmm. And being irresponsible with money will be a strain on your early marriage. Mm-hmm. So the other thing I would say, you know, with that, like with debt, but also getting in a rhythm of just saving, like, mm-hmm. and making it automatic is mm-hmm. such a good financial practice. It just teaches you that you only have a limited amount of resources, and it teaches you. So, like, I wish I could go back and talk to myself before I made a cent and said, everything you make, give 10% away to the church or, you know, some cause you're passionate about, and then take 10% and just automatically save it and forget about it and just let that money grow. Mm-hmm. And then just let that grow the rest of your life. And if you start doing that when you're in your early 20s, you know, that will grow, and, you know, you'll that'll pretty much fund your retirement probably. Mm-hmm. So I think
good principles.
Yeah, you know, so I think that's the thing, that just you know, getting in that rhythm of not spending everything you receive, but mm-hmm. but having some money that you set aside to do good.
And it seems like one of the big traps too is as you start growing in your career and stuff, you just start spending more mm-hmm. rather than you mm-hmm. start, you know, your style of living starts expanding, your, you know, expenditures start growing and stuff. And that is so hard. It's like, oh no, I just got a raise, so now I'm going to go buy a new car, and mm-hmm. I'm going to go. It's a tricky business. All right. What about principles, Katrina?
I agree with what he said here, like debt. If you don't get into any debt before getting married or either in your 20s, because one of my downfalls, and like I said, 2 years ago, we just recently paid off all the credit card debt that I accumulated. Mm-hmm. and it was from things that after graduating high school, you know, you receive these applications to apply for credit cards and things like that. And yeah. I would get them, max them out, and didn't think about it. Uh-huh. But we sold our house 2 years ago and used the money there to pay off that debt. And that is great advice to mm-hmm. not accumulate that debt mm-hmm. and also save. Mm-hmm. Save every penny. mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Watch every penny. We even plan for the kids' shoes, everything. You know, mm-hmm. you just have to plan for everything. You just, like I said, yeah. No one be like me.
Well, and like you said, it's like how depressing is it to be paying off debt of stuff? Like, say you bought, you know, you bought this wardrobe or you bought whatever. You don't yes. even own it anymore because it just, like, either, you know, got worn out or whatever, but you're still paying for it. I mean, that's just super depressing. Like, consumer debt mm-hmm. is yes. exhausting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say learn how to say no. Learn mm-hmm. how to say no to other people who are asking you to go to Cancun.
Oh, don't be looking at me over there. Wow. That's between me and the Lord. Go ahead. Yeah.
Exactly. Unless you're Lisa, then you can say yes.
I just consider it ministry. Yeah. I feel like, yeah. you know, I go and, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But also learn how to say no to yourself. Mm-hmm. So know that if you go into the grocery store with, you know, $40 or $50, that's what you can spend. And, oh, but this is only $2 more. It's still over your budget. So mm-hmm. learn how to control those mm-hmm. oh, but it's mm-hmm. so that you can actually stick to a budget and then pay off the debt and stay out of debt. So,
yeah. Yeah. That's what I say. I think I've said this on the show before. One of the biggest things I learned was it's not a bargain if you don't need it. You know, the people that are yeah. like, oh, it's on sale, or mm-hmm. I better stock it up, or I better just, you know, maybe I'll use it someday or whatever. And then you just have boxes of stuff that you're not using, or constantly having to upgrade your electronics, or constantly
that was one of my problems.
Yeah, it's like always having the new, and then you have to have the newest accessory, and then you have to have, you know, it's like good night. I mean, I can't even keep up with technology. Not even considering purchasing it. I have a hard time even figuring out what people are doing. Mm-hmm. And then it's so I'm always on the back end of that curve. So that definitely makes some sense. So, well, you guys, these are good thoughts. Thank you so much for weighing in on this. I think this will be helpful for folks as we look at our finances, try to be good stewards, try to remember what it looks like to look ahead, because you won't always be in the season you're in, for good or for bad. And so I love the biblical principle of, as you prepare, you know, margin in your finances, you are giving yourself the opportunity to bless others and mm-hmm. to be a blessing and to share and to give generously. And I think that's a very freeing thing. So thanks, you guys.
Yeah, thanks.
Welcome. Thank you.